What I'd like to do, which I did unfortunately forget to do at the end of my announcements there, is have a word of prayer. And obviously for Louise and my mother-in-law. So and let's start the service with that. Dear God, Father, I just want to thank you that we can come before you right now. Just, Father, humbly. Lord, undeservingly, Lord, as we don't have any right to come before you. We don't have any right for you to listen to us. But, Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for Christ who gave the ultimate sacrifice that we can approach you, Father, with confidence as the Scriptures teach us. Father, we know that you're a loving God. You're a merciful God. Father, we do go through things at times, but these times also that we go through are there to, Father, draw us closer to you. Lord, we just lift up our dear sister Louise to you right now and just really be with her, Father, at this time, and really help her, Father, to be strong and to be faithful, to find joy and peace and surrender, Lord, in you, because it's the only place where we can really find it. Father, the world looks, and we're taught to look in many ways, but the only way we can really truly find peace is, Father, in you, in your love. Father, I really pray she feels that. I really pray that it's an opportunity for her to draw closer to you, to understand your love and your mercy even greater. Lord, really put your healing hand on her. Just continue to work through her. Father, we know she is a brave sister. We know that she loves you. She's such a light, such a joy. And we know this will not diminish that at all. But only if anything, Father, enhance that. Be with Wayne. Help him, Father, to be a great husband at this time as well, and really be with him and help him, Father, to be strong and to find that peace in you as well. Father, I really pray for my mother-in-law at this time and just what she's going through. Father, it's tough. It's challenging. She knows, Father. I think she realizes she's facing the end. In some sense, she has given up. But I really pray, Father, as we get around her, I pray that Karen can really just give Karen the words that she needs. Give me the words that I need, Father, as we're around her, Lord. And be with Jim, Father, her husband, my father-in-law. And I know, Father, he's talking like this is probably this is the end. I just pray it's an opportunity, Father, we can reach out to him as well. Lord, I pray that we can baptize her in Christ. I pray that she can get her sins forgiven and receive the Holy Spirit before she moves on, Lord. And just really do something, Father, to soften her heart so that can happen. Lord, we're super grateful. Father, be with me as I just preach your word today. You just pray for our hearts to be open, Lord, as we serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. We're continuing our series on what is it again, Sam? Pursuit of Godliness. That's right. Pursuit of Godliness. So Matthew chapter 3. I'd like to say it's going to be a short sermon today, but every time I do that, it doesn't seem to work out that way. Pray for me, by the way, because my heart's been very heavy of late, so I would appreciate your prayers. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "And Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" And I think a few weeks ago, someone must have mentioned this. I think even Sam must have mentioned this in his sermon. But you know, sometimes you read something or someone says something and it just pops out at you. It's like you think you've heard it 1,000 times, but it just kind of pops out. And something here just popped out at me. And I thought, wow. I mean, I've been a disciple now for over 30 years, but wow. And what popped out of me was verse 17. When there they are, and you know, it says, "A voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" I thought, how awesome is that? You know, that Jesus, you know, God says, man, Jesus, he pleases me. And I thought, you know, for my life, I thought, wouldn't it be great I mean, well, this is not going to happen, not right here and now, obviously. But wouldn't it be great for heaven to open up? Then God says, "This is Brett Benny, my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." And I'm sure Brett would be pretty chaffed at that and probably wonder what God's talking about as well. Because I would be. Sorry, Brett, I'm going to throw you the bus there. But I would be. And if you look at Matthew chapter 17, it's not the first time it happens. And some people think, man, was that a real audible voice? I mean, did God really say this? But if you look at Matthew 17, look at a few scriptures here just quickly. And I have too many today. But in Matthew chapter 17, the Transfiguration, they go up to the mountain. And Peter and John are there. Then in verse 4 says, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." There's two interesting things here in Matthew 3 for sure. I mean, what had Jesus done up to that point for God to say, "With you I'm well pleased"? Hadn't even started his ministry yet. But obviously he was a good son, even up to that point. Here it changed a little bit because, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Now it's "listen to him." In 2 Peter chapter 2, we don't have time to follow that verse, but Peter confirms the voice on the mountain, this audible voice that from heaven came down and said, "This is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." And this got me thinking. Because I thought, you know, Jesus really pleased God. And so, you know, the title of my sermon today really is about pleasing God.
Amen.
No, the title of my sermon today is "Find Out What Pleases the Lord." And our theme verse comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 5. Because it's a challenge. It may be a challenge we think is too lofty for us to reach. But if we look, let's read Ephesians chapter 5 for a second. Beginning in verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you live, you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just quickly, if you can't get there, I'll read it out to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, and it says, "Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it." This whole concept of pleasing the Lord. But Ephesians 5:8 says, "Find out what pleases the Lord." And as I said, that's a challenge. If I was to ask you, what do you think pleases God? And we don't have time enough to really even talk about this. But find out what pleases the Lord. And I think this is an important concept. This is very important, I think, for us to understand. This whole idea of pleasing the Lord. Because you know what? We're good at pleasing ourselves. And we're good, probably at times, at pleasing others. I don't know, maybe you are, maybe you're not. But for sure, we know what pleases us. We know what makes us happy. We know how to give us good things that will please us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But do you know how to please the Lord? And as Paul says, is that your goal, how to please the Lord? My first point today, and I think it's going to be my only point, to please, and I think that this for me is a challenge about how to please God. How do you get to that point where it's just about simply pleasing the Lord? Because you might think it's just too difficult. How do you do that? How do you know for sure that God is even pleased with you? But I think for sure a first step to understanding this, and this is my point this morning, is to please, you need to be free. to please, you need to be free. I don't know about you, but I think we all at times, as I said, we like to please people. You know, I think we like to do that. I know I'm a father and I'm a son. And I have a father, I have a physical father, and I know there are times I want to please him. As I got older, now when I was younger I didn't want to please him. Because it's kind of funny, because when I was younger, you know, he wanted me to do things and I did them begrudgingly. But it's funny, as you get older and you soften, your heart softens a bit, you know, I want to do things to please my dad. I really want to please him. And I remember as we got our house in Cheltenham, my dad would come down and if I did some painting or something, you know, I'd be mindful of the fact that I'm painting and dad's going to come down, because my dad's a painter. He's a painter and docker. So it was a lot of pressure to paint your house, knowing your father's a painter. And so my dad, and I remember thinking in my mind very, very clearly that, you know, my dad's going to come down and he's going to see that I've painted, and so dad, what do you think? I consider myself an okay sort of painter too, by the way. But I know my dad was always going to pick up on the cutting the edge. You know the cutting the edge where you've got to cut between the wall and the architrave at the top there? Very challenging to do. But I remember thinking, now obviously as dad got older, it didn't become such an issue, because he couldn't see properly anyway, so it didn't matter too much. But I know that, but if it's still true, you know, I want to please them. The times they came and they would come and hear me preach, I wouldn't do it for them, but I wanted to know that they walk away and go, that was really great, son. It does something to you, doesn't it? I mean, how many times, you probably don't even remember this, but how many times as a kid did you say to your mum and dad, hey, look at this, mum? How many times do you think you said that as a child? Look at this, mum. Hey, dad, look at this. Look at me. Now that was for approval and all sorts of things, but there's that sense that you can't. You just, it's kind of this natural thing. I think it's this natural thing that happens. You know, I know that I see this sometimes with the boys. You know, I go watch Jared play basketball. You know, every now and again, quite often a little bit. I love watching them play. He's a great player, great player. And you know, there are times when you'd sit there and he'd do this really cool shot or this really cool block, or he'd do something, and he'd look straight at me. You know, as if to say, hey, Dad, did you see that? Yeah. Unfortunately, there have been a couple of times. There was one time in particular where Tamsin was there as well.
I don't think he's
free. And then he did this really cool shot, and he wasn't looking at me anymore. Because I can't blame him, right? I mean, if you had a beautiful girlfriend, the last thing you want to do is be trying to impress your bald-headed old man versus a beautiful girlfriend. So. But nonetheless, it still happens. When Tamsin's not there, it happens. But she's there. Brandon's the same. But Brandon's funny, though. Brandon's a little bit different. Brandon's funny because Brandon, when he plays soccer, there are a couple of times he'd play soccer, and he would actually challenge me. After the game a couple of times, I don't know if he remembers this, but he'd say to me, hey Dad, I can't hear you. I can't hear the encouragement. Because I go, yeah. And so, seriously, say, you need to speak up, Dad. Where's the encouragement? I can't hear you. Anyway, that's what he was looking for. But you know, I think the challenge is, I think, you know, this whole idea about being free to give, what does that mean exactly? What am I talking about? About being free to give. Because I think it does make a difference. You know, you've heard of the concept of people pleasers. People pleasers. Go to 1 John for a second. 1 John chapter 5. I think we're going to get through this. First John chapter 5. Beginning verse 1, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, I think this is interesting because, you know, the Bible says here, you know, First John says that anyone loves God obeys his commands, and he says his commands are not burdensome. It's a bit like, come to me all you are weary and I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke, you know, if I'm easy and gentle of heart. And I say this because I think at times, you know, we don't necessarily feel that. I mean, one of the things that I find very hard to take at times is knowing that people find being a disciple so burdensome. Coming to church is such a burden. Coming to midweek is such a burden. The things we do are such a burden. And yet here the Bible says that his commands are not burdensome. So how does that work if we feel the burden so much at times? And somewhere we're not free in our giving. And how does that work? How does that work? Well, maybe it has something to do with why you're here in the first place. Maybe it has something to do with why you're here in the first place. Maybe it's all about we're here, and I think this does happen. We're here maybe to fix our marriage. We're here maybe to fix our lives. And this makes some sense to that, right? You come here, you think, okay, I've got some issues, I need some help. And that's fair enough to a degree. But the point is, if it stays there, if it stays at that point, then surely at some point it's going to become burdensome what we do in our lives. And I think the challenge for us, and I think the challenge is very simple. I mean, how did Jesus please God? I mean, think about it. You know, with him, I am well pleased. How was it that God looks at Christ and says, man, with you, I am well pleased? How did Jesus do it? What was his heart? Well, obviously the focus had to come back. It had to be somewhere else. In Mark chapter 10, let's look there for a sec. Mark chapter 10. Because I don't want it to be a burden. I don't think our lives need to be a burden. What we do needs to be a burden. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's temptations. I'm not saying it's easy, but that doesn't make it a burden necessarily. That's just a challenge. It doesn't need to be a burden. I don't see church as a burden. I want to be here. I don't see whatever we do. It's, to me, it's not a burden. I really want to be here. I can't think of anywhere else I'd like to be. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that my life will be more of a burden without it. That's it for me for sure. My life will be such a burden without God. My life was such a burden without God. Heaven forbid it becomes a burden. That's not God's plan for our lives. How did Jesus do it? I think this is what it's all about. I think this is what it's all about. In Mark chapter 10. Sorry, I've got to go back. I lost my... Beginning of verse 45. Verse 41, actually. So it was when the 10 heard about this, about the request of James and John, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become the great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, what was Jesus' attitude? He says, I'm not here to be served. I'm the King, I'm the Lord, but I'm here to serve. His attitude was he just wanted to serve. But serve who? Serve the Father. And I guess the question for us today is, you know, who are we serving? Who are we serving in our lives? Why are we here? Why? We can say this, you know, but get to the bottom of it. Why are we here? Hopefully you're here because you want to serve God. Hopefully you're here because you want to please God. I want to make people happy. I do. I genuinely want to make people happy. I genuinely want to serve people. I genuinely will do whatever I need to do, whatever I can do to help. I just wish I could do more. I wish I had more energy. I wish I had more time. But that sincerely is my heart. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not here for you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to serve you. And I want to say that as in your face as I can. I really do. I want to say that in your face. I'm not here to serve you. I'm not here to make Sam and Mia Percy happy. Sorry, Mia. I'm here, and I want to be very conscious of the fact I'm here because I want to serve God. I'm here because I want to please God. And you know what? That's challenging. You know what's challenging about that? I'll tell you what's challenging about that. Because Jesus is all about others. I've come to serve, I've come to... And it's challenging. You know what? I'll tell you the challenging thing about that is you don't always get back what you give. You don't always get back what you give. And 8 times out of 10, you won't get it back the way it was given. And I know that. I felt that. I felt at times the more I give, the more I serve, it doesn't seem to come back the same way. People hold back. They don't give. In marriages it happens, right? You could be there in your marriage, you're just, you know, serving, giving. And it doesn't come back. You think, when's it going to come back? And you get hard. And you know, this is the interesting thing. This is the whole people pleaser thing. In some sense, I want to please you. You know what happens? You know how you know you're a people pleaser? When you stop giving. When you stop giving. When you've had enough. When you feel like I'm tired of it not coming back the way it's given. Then you rest assured you become a bit of a people pleaser. Because you're relying on what people do or don't do. But see, if you're a God pleaser, if you're trying to find out what pleases the Lord, have a guess what? You keep giving. You never tire of giving. His commands only become burdensome when the focus comes off God.
Come on.
When the focus comes off God. Because I've said this and I'll say it again. I've felt it. And this is nothing to do with you, okay? It's not. Don't make it about, it's not about this. It's about me. But I felt it. And many times I've felt, what's the point? A lot of effort, little gain. Someone said that, and I wish they never said it because it sticks in my mind like this big neon light. A lot of effort, little gain. A lot of effort, little gain. And it's not about that. As soon as I start thinking that, or saying that, or believing that, I've just become a people pleaser. And my focus is on trying to please people and not please God. And for me, that's how you learn. That's how you understand how to please God. You've got to get it off you. Get it off everybody else. Stop measuring what people do or don't do. Stop measuring the result or lack of result. I know that's the way it is in the ministry. You can measure by results.
Yep.
You can measure by what happens. Anyone who's been in the ministry here or a leader of any kind, you measure by results. You measure by what people do or don't do. Our lives, and it gets messed up. Right? That's why the world's messed up a little bit. Because everyone's measuring. Everyone's looking at what everyone's doing and not doing. But the person who's just simply trying to please the Lord doesn't engage in that. It's all about pleasing God. And the challenge is, Paul doesn't even tell you, by the way. I've got a list of things. And I don't want to say much more. I've got a list of things of what I think, how we please God. Paul doesn't tell you. He just says, you find out what pleases the Lord. It's on you. You find out what pleases the Lord. You go away from me and say, man, I always want to please God. God, what pleases you? I could give you a bit of a list. Do you want it? Do you want a little bit of a list? I'll give you a bit of a list. I'll give you a list. You can go away and study it out yourself. You know, what does please the Lord? There's a great verse in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whereas, who is he, who is the one who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. You know what God wants more than anything? Is just a relationship with you. You know, it's funny, you know, it is interesting in the beginning there, Matthew 3, what had Jesus done when he said, with him I'm well pleased? What had he done? What had he done up to that point? Well, as far as we know, he hadn't even started his ministry yet. But I think he'd already had the relationship with the Father. And that was already pleasing to him. So work just simply on that, your relationship with God. Devote yourself to say, you know what, I want to be close to the Lord. That's all that matters to me. That's all this is always about. There's another great verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Well, you know one thing, and maybe you can start this way as well. You can decide to yourself, you know what, maybe I need to start with what displeases God. And maybe I'll find out what pleases God by finding out what displeases him. Well, I can tell you now, God is not fired up about proud people. Matter of fact, he's so not fired up about proud people, he opposes them. That can't be a good thing. It can't be a good thing, the creator of the universe opposing you. So learn to be humble. Understand what humility looks like. The teachability. The humility that comes with that. 1 Peter 5, casting our anxieties on him because he cares for you. There's another great one. Seeking his face, not his hand. Just seek that relationship with God. And maybe to finish up with, which is one of my favourites in how to please God, is in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And this one really seems to have an impact, if you like. Acts chapter 7 is the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was one of the seven there that they appointed. And Stephen, we don't have time to read all of Acts chapter 7, but he preaches to the Sanhedrin. And it was a pretty potent sort of speech. And in verse, so we're going to pick it up. Right at the end there, in verse 54. So they weren't happy. You can read the speech yourself if you've never read it before. But they weren't happy with him. Let's pick it up in verse 51, because it gives you an idea of probably why they did what they did. In verse 51 of Acts chapter 7, it says, "You stiff-necked people." That probably was enough. I think that did it. I think Stephen's, the die was cast at that point. "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have been betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels but have not obeyed it." Okay, this is his closing remarks, okay? Verse 54, "When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him." I don't even know what that looks like. "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses lay their clothes at the feet of Saul, the young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And if you don't already know this, the significant thing about what's going on here is it's the only time, because normally it's always Jesus where? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. And here, Stephen, as he's being stoned and knows what's about to happen, he looks up, heaven opens, and he sees Jesus standing. He's now standing. And why is he standing? because Stephen is taking a stand. And I think one thing I know for sure that seems to get that God fired up about is when people take a stand. When people take a stand for the truth. When people preach the word. When they don't hold back telling it the way it is. I mean, this is the reaction that this is the reaction he got.
Yeah, come on.
Jesus now stands at the right hand of the Father. Wouldn't it be nice to know there are times in your life, and I don't know, but wouldn't it be nice to know there have been times in your life where Jesus actually stood and said, man, look at Katie there. Look at Katie taking a stand at work. Or look at my young teens. Look at Joy there at school taking a stand against the grain. Alex taking a stand. What a tough thing to do. I mean, you've got to know, Jesus gets fired. God gets fired up about that stuff. And you know, are we taking those stands? Are we taking a stand with our family? Are we taking a stand with our, at work, at school? Are we taking a stand in our own lives to do the right thing? Are we taking that stand? You know, the challenge today is to find out what pleases the Lord. And it is a lofty challenge. But hopefully if we focus on that, his commands aren't burdensome. We're not here under duress. We're not being dragged everywhere. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there's always going to be issues. But they're not the burdens.
Yep.
They're the things we look to help us grow in our faith.
All right.
Let's find out what pleases the Lord and have God say, with him, with her, I'm well pleased. To God be the glory. Amen.